tomorrow night, there is also an incredible Stephen Hyten event. And that's going to be held at the Mansion. That is a later event as well. I believe it starts at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Please, 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 please just go to their website and see. I think you will find something that you might really like. They still have a whole day after this, full day, and then part of a day on Sunday as well. So check it out. Maybe I'll see you there. I will be there most all of the time. And so we have, well, we're already a half a minute into the second hour, so let's just move into that. It is, again, 45 seconds after 5 o'clock. You are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM, located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. Coming up on the show to this hour, you're going to hear the final session of that Art Fest poetry event with readings by Alana Wolf, Sarah Emtage, and me. Following that, you're going to hear a short interview with Joanne Gervais talking about an upcoming art tour next weekend. So just the usual start of the hour announcement. Occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but all is played in its entirety with content unedited to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. It seems like it happens once every year at that art fest. I forget to turn the recorder on to catch someone's bio. Well, we almost made it. I made it till the last, very last session. So to lead into this is what you would have heard recorded like you have everyone else's, but I will read it here as you would have heard it there, and then we'll just go straight into that session again with Alana Wolf, Sarah Emtage, and me. So Alana Wolf is the author of 8 books of poetry, a collection of essays on poems, original translations from the Hebrew and across genre, Kafka Quest work, Faithfully Seeking Friends, Guernica Editions 2023. Alana's poems and creative nonfiction pieces are widely published in Canada and internationally and have been garnered awards, including the 2020 Canadian Jewish Literary Award for Poetry for her collection Swoon. She has taught English for academic purposes at York University in Toronto and at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem. She resides in Toronto and currently divides her professional time between writing, literary editing, and designing and facilitating social art courses and workshops. Here we go.
Thank you for the intro. So this is the book. I'd like to read 3 poems from the book. The Franz of the title is, as Bruce said, is Franz Kafka. And this is a cross-genre work. I don't know how Kafka-esque it is, but it is a cross-genre work. Most of it is creative nonfiction stories, but there are also poems in it and photos in it. And what it is, it's set up as an itinerary, as a travelogue of sorts. I've been tracking Franz Kafka since I was a teenager, and about 14, 15 years ago, I started to track him in the field, really where he lived and worked and dreamt and convalesced and where he died and where he was laid to rest, with my partner, who is M in the book, who is also my foil. So there's a whole dynamic that's happening in here. It's kind of a storybook. What I'd like to do is to read you 3 poems from here, and the first poem will be one of the field poems. If you've got the book, it's on page 145. I'm going to start on page 145, and some of the pieces just had to be poems, they couldn't be stories. So this one here, it's titled Surfacing Behavior, and it's about a trip that we took to a little Moravian town, and where Kafka's uncle Siegfried lived, the country doctor. And Kafka, as a young man, spent summers there. and he wrote to his friends. So this particular piece is mostly about our trip there and the kind of magical experience that we had there, and it includes a little bit of Kafka's own text too. So here it is, Surfacing Behavior. Venovsky Pond, Trešť, Czech Republic. The pond alive with them, leaping, thwacking like paddles upon re-entry. The sound of it loud and out of the blue. You don't expect these fish, they look like carp, to breach like humpbacks. You don't expect this tranquil water to clap. I like the way you call from the car, roused as much as I am by the action. That's the M in the story. I am at the pond side with the camera poised to shoot the proof. Swans are on the water also, whites and pale gray juveniles approaching. It's possible I've never had an accurate sense of distance, which is to say, I fear their teeth on my toes. I snap the jumpers, fish at once so fully out of the water, oddly not. I capture golden bodies aloft, mid-wriggle, gleeful in the leaping, or at least it seems to me. Maybe it's display, a sign. Perhaps they're on their way to wail with imminent lungs and blowholes. It's possible I've never had an accurate sense of mystery, which is to say their realness is their glee. The swans emerging at the grass back me to the Škoda. You haven't left. Anyhow, we're good to go. We've seen the small Czech town where young Franz Kafka came in summer to visit Uncle Siegfried, country doctor of Trešť, at that time Trish. Lay naked by the pond, he wrote, rode his uncle's motorcycle, herded cows and goats, played quoits, fell for a short-sighted girl by way of her fat, foreshortened legs, and went to temple. Okay, so the last few lines are taken actually from, paraphrased, let's say, from one of Kafka's letters to his best friend, Max Brod, who was also his literary executor. And if not for Max, we would not know Kafka, because he really was not well known in his time. He had only published very little. He was known mostly to discerning readers in his close Prague circle. But Max devoted his entire life to publishing and making sure that Kafka's legacy would live on. So a friendship like that, it's really hard to imagine. And Max's story is yet to be told, right? So that's one of the field pieces. And I'm going to read another field piece. This one here takes place, it's 124, for those of you who have your your books and your pencils. So this one here is about a visit that Em and I, my partner and I, took to Prague in 2018. Prague is our common launching spot, because that was Kafka City and his hometown, and he lived really his whole life, except for a few months at the end, in Prague, apart from convalescing here and there in various sanatoriums. And he was a bit of a health fanatic, a faddist, and he had this idea that that if he worked in the garden and he got his hands in the soil, that would be good for his health. So this is about a visit that we took to this place in south part of Prague called Nusle. And we went to look for the market garden. Of course, it wasn't there. And most of the searches, the questing, is really about searches for specters and traces and things that are absent, right? But there are always signs, like the leaping fish, right? And like the crow, because Kafka's name means jackdaw or crow in Czech. So when you get a crow sighting exactly in the right timing, how can you resist but think that it's a message, right? So this is one of those. So good at this. I've wished to step into the black atoms of mid-air, be ambient and present to a figure. My shoulders twitch like liftoff at Benetska and Nasloopy streets. A crow alights, indicative, and drops beyond a wall. This way lies a hospital, a pharmacy, remembrance. That way to the room where clerks were stripped and whipped and whimpered. Pieces filter through the trees like feathers to a well. Can you tell by the pen I seek a yard and garden in Nusle? A tall man shed his hat and jacket, got down dirty in the earth, darker here than he was in the sun, déclassé for a friable while, the soil beneath his nails. A dark man to a bird on a roof, draw him as he's gone. So good at this, he doesn't die, but consecrates in creatures. Through storyline and dream, the flatlands of confabulation, literature, and illness. So you might have heard a little bit there about the stripped and the whipped and the whimpered. That's from a chapter of The Trial. You know, the whipping or the flogging scene in The Trial. So throughout the book, there's a lot of interweaving of Kafka's own work with my own. And then I did this thing. I translated, believe it or not, I translated a late text by Kafka that is not in the canon. In fact, I hadn't seen it anywhere. And I do know German, but not on the level that one really needs to know it in order to translate Kafka. So I translated it from Hebrew. I found it in Hebrew, translated from Hebrew into English, and then got the original German and worked the two translations into English. So it was a really weird, interesting process, and very difficult because Kafka's syntax itself is difficult. You know, every time you think, oh, it's clear, I got it, and then it just floats away. So as I was going through this translating process, I had a kitchen experience with an animal. And as you know, Kafka wrote a lot of animal stories. So this one is on page 190 for those following along. And you'll hear some German words in here. It doesn't really matter if you don't understand them. I think you get the idea from the context. But all the words are from that little piece that I translated. Okay, it's called Tacitly Translating. It's windy in the walking field and two or three coyotes. Did I say the wind had fallen? Seelenfreunde. Fewer birds, no minnesingers, none. I've tried to bring them back with nuts and crumbs. Instead, a squirrel comes. With half an ear, a tattered coat, his tail striped lightning white. Vermutung. He was probably actually struck. The other day he came in stormy weather and sat on the sill, eyed me deutlich through the Fenster. I at the kitchen sink with dishes, he completely drenched. I photographed him close up on my cell phone. Geringfügigkeit is what he didn't say to that. Nonetheless, there's tacit understanding. I slipped him a bowl of Hafer, crumbs, and nuts. Okay, so I'm going to read just one more piece, and that's it. And the piece I'm going to read is actually not in the book, but I often get asked. I hope I did bring it. I might not be reading it if I didn't bring it. Oh.
I think I brought it.
Yeah. So I often get asked by people, what turned you on to Kafka in the first place? And I can't honestly say. So like we do, we base some things on you know, facticity, and then we just make up the other stuff, right, to fill it in. So here it is. I know it happened in my teens, okay? But nobody told me go read Kafka, I don't think. So this is called Throwback, and with this I close. Wind wrinkled the river and lake, the clouds, huge cumulo vaporous shapes flattened into stratus, long thin aerial altars disassembling in the mist. In school, we called an awkward boy the ostrich behind his back. Legs too long for his body, head too small, he walked like a logger. He went completely bald before grade 12 and moved away. Odd how people pop into one's thoughts. Mr. P was my German teacher that year. A fit man with a mustache that looked like Hitler's, which only occurred to me later. At the time, I liked his tidy style, his potent way of pacing back and forth across the room, his turtlenecks and dark blue suits, how he called on Anne von Glatz and Elsa Metz to answer. He made me like those clipped Germanic names and love those girls, even though they hardly noticed me. Mr. P, I might have called him late one night for help, but I didn't have his number or know what I'd tell him if I'd had it. Sometimes he would sit on his desk and show the soles of his brogues. Mystery emanated from the leather. I copied his strong, deliberate script, letters slanting right like duteous feet. She who copies becomes the stalker, I read, and abandoned that slant. He showed up some months later where I was waiting on cocktail tables, ordered a scotch and water, and asked me what I was doing these days. As if he couldn't see. I'm working to pay my way, I said, and smiled and went on serving. Seeing him there, that mustache and the turtleneck, the dark blue suit, was weirdly out of place. I felt his tidy eyes on me wherever I was in the room. Je vous en prie, I answered when he thanked me for my service. He took my hand and pressed a lavish tip into my palm, closed his fingers over mine, and wished me alles Gute. Perhaps it was from Mr. P I first heard tell of Kafka. Okay. Some of it is true.
And let's give Alana another hand. Up next, Sarah Emtage is a local poet, playwright, sculptor, and librarian technician. She has written two poetry books, Paperscape and The Second-Rate Poetry of S.M. Emtage. Both happen to be over there, I believe. Is that right? Yes. A picture book called The Time Wager. Is that there, too?
No.
Okay. A stage adaptation of The Princess and the Goblin and a radio play series called Sound Castle. She is working on a children's poetry collection called Clay Castle and is currently keeping a spider plant alive. You can see more of her work at scriblore.com. Let's bring up Sarah Emtage.
Yeah, that is really bright. Yeah. Thank you, friends. It's so lovely to be here today. All right. I haven't timed this, so just tell me when to stop. Okay, cool. This first poem, a friend of mine sent me a picture while she was in England of a tea bus. And I have no idea what it was like on the inside, but this is what I started to imagine. I wrote this poem about it. The tea bus travels interdimensionally, which is good enough for me, so long as there's tea. All aboard at the High Street stop, then off we pop to a planet of peony palaces. A generous dollop of Devonshire cream stifles my scream as we enter a stream of light-speed dreams. The servers deserve a substantial raise for keeping cups upright at the corners of reality. Thank you. This poem is called Phoenix Feather. I stole a feather from a phoenix, and it seldom gives me grief. First it shimmers in the sunlight, then it changes like a leaf. Turns from violet into silver, then from silver into gold, then igniting into fire, then to ashes, gray and cold. Then I sweep it all together, and I make a little pile, and I rearrange my papers, and I wait a little while. Till it rises from the ashes, and I take it up again and continue writing stories with my phoenix feather pen. Thank you. This one is called Rememberer. Rememberer, remind me of the poems I've composed in my head instead of writing them down, of the promises I made and waylaid in the clutter that abounds. Or hold in your heart all the parts of me that I've lost, and remind me who I am and who you are. This next poem is a poem from The Eclipse. My friends came to visit me, and we saw it together here in Kingston, and their four-year-old daughter, my goddaughter, Amelia, was with us, and it was really beautiful, a special time. But yeah, this is what I wrote about it when it happened. I see sliding spheres colliding into crescents, and I am in the presence of wonder, understanding only part of the glory that thou art. Dusk descends, circled by sunset, as the slender silver sliver disappears. The silhouette makes silhouettes of all the strangers on the pier. We shiver in the park. The sun crown swims with magic in the dark. Light and life return, and then Amelia says, "Again!" This next poem is something that I've decided to call like a couplet knife. I'd written one like many years ago. The idea, I guess, was just to have like a series of couplets, but each couplet has one less syllable than before until you end with like just like a two-syllable, two-word. And I think, I don't know, I like to do more in this, and anyone else is welcome to use the form as well. It's not, whatever. It's up for grabs. This one is called Roaming. This is one from more recently. I have traveled confined to a thin frame of mind, in roaring machines with frail magazines, bookless and bland in distant lands. No more caught by my thoughts, I'm home to roam with myth. Thank you. Here's a poem that's in kind of in response to, or I suppose the term is after, Love 3. I don't know, I guess Herbert wrote several poems called Love, but anyway, Love 3. So this is my sort of response poem, or like, yeah, similar kind of poem. Love is the host, and I am a ghost haunting the feast. I am the least appropriate guest, yet I am blessed with a welcoming smile. Come and stay for a while. But I say I'm a curse. I make everything worse. And love counters on cue. I make everything new. Thank you, Mom. Okay, I have one more poem. I got to visit a school recently and share some of my poetry with them. And this is someone in the grade 3 class got her mom to buy my book, and then my friend who was their teacher video called me when they had their poetry day, and so this student had memorized my poem, and she, I got to see her on a video call share. I don't think anyone, I can't think of any other time someone has memorized my poem. So that touched me deeply. Oh, this is a poem that I care about a lot as well. It's in it's called Paper Crown. All I have is a paper crown, but when I lay it down at your feet, all my incompleteness is suddenly complete. And this crown that would have wilted in the damp or in the rain has turned to solid gold and will eternally remain a witness to your glory and your mercy and your grace that have brought a paper pauper here to see you face to face. Thank you, guys.
Let's give Sarah another hand. So I want to thank all of you for coming out. To begin with, give yourselves a hand and give the both the poets, Alana and Sarah, a hand too. What I'm going to do is something a bit different, but that at least lets me explain this poem without worrying about running out of time. I usually don't preface my poetry, but this is one of those poems that, well, I woke up like at 2 o'clock in the morning with the first two lines of dialogue in here. And it wasn't one of those where, oh, you can come back and do it later, or do it tomorrow morning, or write those two lines down and go back to sleep. No, this muse was not letting me do that. It made me get up and write the write what follows. It's a 9-minute poem, which is incredibly long for me. It definitely wasn't me. I don't know who it was, and I didn't know where it was going. I just followed the voice through it. Anyway, this is called Questions. It is late night on a secluded sidewalk in a city. Two people approach each other, coming from opposite directions. There is no one else nearby, or even visible as far as one could see down the street. Just as they begin to pass each other, "You can't do that," she says. "What do you mean, I can't do what?" "What you were thinking." "Why can't I?" "I can't tell you why, I just know." "I don't understand. Are you telling me there's something I shouldn't do?" "No, that's not it. That's not strong enough. I'm not simply giving you advice. No, this is a warning." "A warning?" "Yes, a warning. I don't ever pry into others' lives, but tonight I'm making an exception. I saw you walking, approaching. I've never seen you before, and I believe you've never seen me. I don't know you. I'd say we just met here right now, but even that is too much. We haven't even met. But as you walked by, I could sense what you were thinking, and I told you, you can't do that." "This is crazy. How do you know what I was thinking?" "I don't know what you were thinking." "Then how can you say I can't do something I was thinking about?" "I can't tell you, really." "What does that mean?" "I can't tell, but I can, like, sense. I can see pieces of other people's futures. In the past, I've always stopped short of telling others what they should or should not do. I figured it wasn't my business. And what if my presumptions were wrong? I might be depriving them of something that might lead them somewhere else, and there then it might be some beautiful place. And they then with wonderful friends. So why did you make me the exception?" "Again, because the sense for me was so overwhelming, and I felt it would be a big mistake if I didn't tell you. That's why I didn't simply say you shouldn't do that. I said that you can't do that." "But what is it I can't do?" "I don't know. It is what you were thinking." "But what was I thinking?" "I don't know." "This is crazy. I should just walk away." "Maybe that's what I was talking about." "You mean walking away?" "In part, maybe." "Well, I can easily pay no attention to you, walk away, and forget this ever happened." "You can't do that." "What?" "You won't be able to do that now. We're too far into this. You won't be able to ever forget this conversation." "I'm sure I can." "No, you can't. I know. Just like I know there are two things you can't do. My first words to you, and now this. I could sense what you were thinking, and that was my first inflection. And that is what remains. So I stand fast in telling you, you can't do that." "I can't do what?" "What you were thinking." "And what was I thinking?" "I don't know." What do you mean you don't know? I can't read thoughts. What does this mean? You say you can't read my thoughts, but I can't do what I was thinking. I didn't say I couldn't read your thoughts. I simply said I can't read thoughts, meaning I can't read anyone's thoughts. This is crazy. I'm walking away. You won't now. Why? We're too far down this. You're not confused by it or even agitated in it. You're curious. That's presumptuous. No, it's a fact. I'm merely pointing it out. You mean to tell me I can't leave right now? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you won't leave right now. And I told you why, but I don't see this lasting much longer either. For God's sake, young woman, why did you stop me in the middle of the night on this sidewalk with no one else around to tell me all of this? No, I didn't do it for God's sake or my sake or anyone else's, really. You're talking in circles. No, I'm talking in a straight line. You're listening in circles. It would have been much easier, I now see, to have just let you pass and said nothing. Well, why didn't you then? I couldn't. I had to tell you, you can't do that. Again, with the I can't do that, I can't do what? What you were thinking. And again, what was I thinking? Okay, let me try this. Again, I don't know you. You don't know me, but as you approached, I could see you were deep in thought. There was an absolute blankness in your eyes. An emptiness filled your face. You became ghost-like in it. Your face ashen. Your body simply moving as if it were something mechanical. There was no life in you. Certainly no love, and no self-love for sure. And I said, you can't do that, meaning you can't think whatever it was you were thinking then. Please don't think that way again. I believe it will lead you to your death. I hope you understand now. The man looked at her silently for easily several minutes. Just stared into her eyes and she into his. He then softly said, "Thank you." Facing him, she placed her hands together as if in prayer, tucked them under her chin, and slightly bowed her head, acknowledging his thanks. He briefly but solemnly still returned the gesture. He then turned to leave. And not directly ahead, but back from where he was coming. A young man on the second floor of the building across the street with the lights on in his apartment behind him had been watching all of this unfold. He wondered what the two had been talking about for so long. He was envisioning stories in his head about the all of it. The young woman on the street looked up, saw him there. She smiled and then continued her walk, leaving the street as empty as it was before, as if none of this ever happened. I'm just going to read three poems out of this. This came out just over a year ago. Mid-November, early morning. Morning, slow, quiet this Sunday morning. This solitary walk back home. A bag of groceries at my side. The baggage of a lifetime on my shoulders, back. Not another soul on this sidewalk, ahead or even behind. Here in this cold but yet bitter wind. Here along this, a hollow street on one side, an empty park on the other. Across the street, an unpainted wooden deck, and on its rail, a large white coffee mug. And the same distance into a park, on its still green grass, a pink hoodie sweater, slightly rolled up. Either, both, left behind, mug, sweater, remnants, or a vanishing. This is called watching. After all these years, after all those years of always sitting with my back to the wall, this morning I forgot. Or perhaps subconsciously willed myself to sit in the open, become exposed in it, feeling then completely vulnerable. But in a quick wave that passes. Odd how we discover things like this. Rediscovering openness. Finding it now neither rigid nor cold, but soft instead. Soft. Like satin, like a breath. Like a breath noticed. Like a first breath ever. And again, thank you for listening. This is going to be my final poem. Telling. I will tell you of a unique storefront. Oh, I'm sorry, start again. I will tell you of a unique building. Its storefront. You might like to check, I say. Or I will tell you about a lost place in a forest where two rivers meet. Just ahead of the falls, their waters absolutely intermingled then. And in the telling, I know already before the end of day, even before the end of this hour, you will have forgotten. That's understandable. You weren't meant to remember. It simply wasn't the right time or place for it. But one day, weeks, months, years, even decades from now, you will come in real life, in happenstance, if such a thing exists. You will stumble upon that very unique storefront in real and or come upon that lost place in the river and hear the falls nearby. And you will look at either for a first time. And you will believe you had never been there before, but you will recognize it in a way you cannot describe or understand. You will feel a fullness in it, a familiarity you cannot explain. You will call it déjà vu. You will remember it for the rest of your life. Thank you very much. You're too kind. Thank you very much.
And it is 39 minutes after 5 o'clock. You just heard, as we finished up the very final session of this year's Poets at Art Fest 3-day poetry festival held this past summer, readings by Alana Wolf, Sarah Imtage, and me. You are and listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. My name is Bruce, and tell you, I do have another segment to share this afternoon. It is a chat I had with just earlier this week with Kingston artist Joanne Gervais. It's about a two-day artistic event she's organizing collaboratively with a number of other people. And it's happening the first weekend in October. You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and take us right there. And here we go. Hi, Joanne.
Well, hi, Bruce. Finally connect.
We do. We did. And so happy to talk to you. I'm here with, for those of you out there, I'm here today with Joanne Gervais and we're talking about the Kingston Art Tour. And I'm just going to turn it over to Joanne and tell us all about it. Joanne, it's coming up soon.
Oh, guys, October 5th and 6th, so Saturday 11 to 7 and Sunday 10 to 5, 10 to 6. So if people are working, you still have a chance to come out. This year there's 8 or 9 host sites. There's still one that's pending, but there'll be a site with Monica Rosen, Liz Schell Studio has Julie Eckert and Liz Schell and Rupert Curry. Those are painters and photographers. The Lauren Kaufman Studio, which is at 4 Catawba Street, there's my French kicking in, Catawba Street. They have Jeff Murray in fabric, and he designs fabrics for people that are special needs. So it might be a musician that needs a coat cut to allow playing a fiddle, or someone has a disability, or somebody who's in the hospital, or new moms with babies and need a nursing gown, or that type of thing. So he's a custom designer for fabric, and also does his own design. At the same studio will be Angela Smith and Carol Jackson, Garrett Barnett and Valerie Spence Hansel, and they are watercolor, mixed media, and acrylic painters, and might be a bit of oil in there. And their styles are quite different, a lot of landscapes, florals, abstracts. So worst that will fit almost any room. And there's also Center and Main Chocolate. So this is an award-winning chocolatier. And when I look at her chocolates, I feel like she'd be putting them in a frame and not eating them. They're just so beautiful. So if you need, have somebody very special, needs a special gift, come to the studio there. Michelle Reed has three, she's with Adele Webster, Alice Mello, Michelle Reed, and Adele Webster. So they're three partners in art, and they do some very colorful, and each work is based on landscapes and florals and abstracts, but quite different from each other. And Riley Stair, she's new this year on the art scene, and she's got some nice new fresh works to come in. We also have Barb Carr and David Craig from Barryfield Studios. And Barb is quite known for her paintings, and David is working on his photography. I Love Art by Poe has just registered with us too, and she does absolutely stunning indigenous drums and sticks. These are works of art, they're not just drums. It's almost a shame to use them as such. And so that's what all these other studios are for. And then there's the main studio, which is at Mike Lamberti Studio. So the painting studio and the portrait studio will be open that day, as well as the back deck and all the front lawn. And it's going to be a busy little place. I have Marika, who's a felt hat designer using merino fleece. And merino fleece is the only fleece without scales, so if you have problems with wool being itchy, this will not. And this year she's bringing in her shawls and purses and I think jewelry that match. The Lisa Ferguson, she's coming in with her book illustrations of animals, and Lisa Morrissey with her landscape paintings. We have the Little Red Barn, does very exquisite wood scroll work, wood scroll cuttings with, I think she has some animals and some abstract patterns. Now, Miss Mel's Magic Mixes, if you have any issues with your skin or other things, she's the lady to come and see. And Mary Alps is doing some gorgeous jewelry. I think I'll have a couple more people here. Yeah, Leah Hicks is a painter, and she'll be right beside my studio right on my back deck this year. Ken Wan is a photographer, so if you need photography done and want to speak to a photographer directly, he'll be here. And then, so my painting studio will have a lot of the landscape abstracts and floors, that type of thing. And this year, the portrait studio will be open, and there will be some portrait artists working. So if you want to have a little try at being a model for a few minutes and get a quick sketch done, this is a good time to do that. So that covered the artists, but the fun thing with this tour, we decided to bring in performers and special guests. So if you're a musician, we have an all-day, two-day music jam. Just come in, slide right in. Jeff Dunn will be there, Anthony Dulchuk, Abby Louise, Kevin Dinsmonowa, and my husband Dave will be the choir master, I guess, that day. We also have the 501st Legion from Star Wars. and they're coming, and they work with charities. So our charities this year will be Turtles Kingston, because my studio is in the turtle nesting zone, and also Greenpeace, who are working on rock, painting rocks for a rock garden, and greeting cards for pets for the Kingston Humane Society. So if you have little ones, little budding artists, so that they can be 2, 3, 4 years old and work you up to grandma, we'll have a place for them. And the other kind of neat thing, we have the Vikings from Hulsbergs. They're out of Gatineau, and they've just finished their quotation mark raids in Germany, Sweden, and Denmark. They're currently in Montreal at the big Montpellier Festival, and they'll be going from there to here. And so the Vikings and the Longswords fighters and the Star Wars, they're way past the cosplay bit. They're more into the official uniforms and costumes. Vikings, some of them are in films that you may have seen, some of the Viking films. And latecomers are the Ironwood Sword School. So they are knights. If you think of Robin Hood and knights, there's the place. And they will be giving demos and classes, mini classes. And they have little swords, little nylon swords for little ones, little tiny fellas, the little types. And then they have the official swords for the big people. And we have, Bruce Coffin and Meg Freer, our local poets and writers. And they will be giving some poetry readings and also giving little hints for people on writing poetry and stanzas, etc., quotes. So if you want to get a little bit of advice and get inspired for writing, talk to Bruce and Meg. Oh, the fun one, too, is Chess with Harry Jordan. He's bringing Magilla, and she's his skeleton. So he'll have several chess boards, and he will have Magilla there in himself. So if you're not sure about your skills, well, challenge the skeleton, Magilla. And if you think you're pretty good, then challenge Harry. And Steampunk Marina Wright from Wright Family Crescent Haircutters, she's coming in and will be showing sewing on how to do steampunk little florets, etc. I think I've got most, I think I've got it all here. So you got any questions on that, Bruce, on this list?
No, you really covered everything, I think. Yeah, what I might just do, though, is for those, and there was so much in there, it might have been too much for people out there to catch. I will mention, I think all of this information is on KingstonArtTour.com. And you can find all the information there, and it's broken down into the various sites and the different locations and all of that. It's done really well. And again, this is coming up October 5th and 6th. That's Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, October 5th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and Sunday, October 6th from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
And we also have the main site with the Star Wars, that because they're big people, big stores, big equipment, they need to eat. So we'll have chili and butter chicken and local apple cider, cookies, etc. And that will be for donations towards the charities. So,
wow, that's wonderful.
For those people who are hungry, most men, if you want them to come to an art show, you have to feed them. So we will feed them. And as one fellow asked if I was doing the cooking, and I said, yes, I said, I'll be there. So I said, okay. So I'm fairly known for cooking.
I've had your cooking. It's very good.
Yeah. Now, the other fun thing is that I also do great bread, so I'll try and make some bread that day. You'll have to come early. It doesn't last long. But I just won first prize for my gluten-free bread at the agricultural fair.
Wow.
And second prize for sourdough. So I do that on the side. I'm a full-time painter, but you got to have a bit of a break from paint, and baking is what I do, and cooking. So if you come, we will feed you well. Also.
Ah, that sounds perfect. And if people have questions, can they contact you, Joanne?
Yes, absolutely. So they can contact me through KingstonArtTour.com, or they can go JoanneGervais@gmail.com, and that'll get through very quickly. And I'm easy to find on Facebook, so JoanneGervais.night. I believe, so if you type up Joanne Gervais, it comes up. If you look for me, I show up. And my website, www.JoanneGervais.com. So if you have any questions on any of the tour things, you give me a buzz. The Iron Sword Long Swords will be doing classes and demos. If you'd like to try your long swords, then you're welcome to come. And they have little tiny swords for the little dykes, so bring them. And the Star Wars 501st Legion, they're here for photo ops. to me, look, I'm only 5 feet, but everybody seems tall, but these fellows do seem extra big. So they'll have a tent, and Isengrin Forge will be coming, and they make their own walnut ink from walnuts they collect at their forge, and they're bringing the 3D printer, and they will be working on 3D figurines, dice box, etc., for dragons and dens and other such fantasy things. So you can come and watch that bit of action happening.
That all sounds...
We're going to keep everyone busy, including this tour was designed not just for the art lover. We wanted to have the spouse that's unwilling to come, or the teenager who says, I don't want to go to an art show, to have other things that will interest them.
Yeah.
You're going to like the Star Wars. You're going to like the music. If you play music, bring your instrument and join in. So we have it set up that you just walk in, play, and go get something to eat, come back and play some more.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. I'm really looking forward to it, Joanne.
Well, it seems that we have a lot of young girls that are interested in the poetry. So one of the reasons I had asked, invited you and Meg to come is our neighbor who's 12 or 13, remembered Gabriella writing a book and was interested and asked, will someone be there to show us how to write poetry?
Oh, wow.
I will ask. And you kindly agreed.
That is why I'm really looking forward to it. And I still remember her being on the show, Gabrielle being on the show. It was really... wonderful to have her there. And God, I don't know, maybe it's about a year ago.
It's been a while. She's 15 now.
Wow.
Boyfriend. So, there's something about having young people that are 20, 30, 40 years younger than us being inspired to do something we do, and we helped inspire them to get to even greater heights. And they have this smile and this youthful joyfulness and this look of discovery. We sometimes lose that as we age, and we need to be around young people to remind us we're something creative, something special, and remember that.
That is so cool, and that is a beautiful thing to see that in them and to be reminded of it ourselves.
Yeah. So all the rock painting, these things, we have rocks collected from Petawawa River around Kingston and some limestone. We're asking kids to paint octopuses on them or sea life, and we're joining Greenpeace with the trying to create the largest rock garden in the world and to beat the Guinness World Record for the rock garden. So when we do the little rocks, we measure them, a little ruler, we measure them, and we take a picture of it in the garden, and we keep adding to them, and people can donate money and choose their favorite rock. And this, the cause for Greenpeace is Greenpeace, but it's specifically for preventing deep sea mining. The little, it's called the ghost octopus. You can see through it. It's a tiny little thing. It's only been discovered recently. It lays its nest on top of the manganese nodules. The deep sea mining wants those nodules, wants that manganese. If the manganese is gone, this little octopus just discovered will be gone also.
Wow.
So these rocks are trying to raise awareness. The same with Turtle Kingston. We're in the nesting zone. There's only a few left in the city, and we need to protect them. So we have little pots and, again, rocks and things for them to paint the turtles, and we have a little sign explaining why we have to, you know, these turtles are so important. We need them, and we live in their nesting zone, so we have to protect what's left of it. And everyone knows about the Kingston Humane Society, so we will have pictures of the pets that are there, and the kids will draw a little photograph and say, I'm ready to be adopted. Can you please come? Mm-hmm. So that's the idea. It, kids will paint, but give them a cause to paint, they paint with twice as much heart.
Oh, you bet.
So we gave them three causes, three reasons to come. And it can be grandma's painting beside the grandkids. It can be a 15-year-old trying to paint something. Like it's open to everyone, and hopefully everyone from the little tots up can come.
It sounds like it's going to be a beautiful weekend, Joanne. Thank you for putting this all together.
Perfect. Thanks for inviting me for the interview, and take care, Bruce, and we will see you in about a week or 10 days.
Yeah, that's right. It's coming right up. I'm looking forward to it.
Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
And you just heard again my chat with Kingston artist Joanne Gervais, head of next weekend, not this weekend, but the next weekend, the October 4th and 5th, I believe it is, 5th and 6th, whatever. I don't have a calendar in front of me here. But whatever that Saturday and Sunday is, you can find out everything you need to know about what she was talking about at www.kingstonarttour.com. And my deep thanks to her for coming on short notice, actually, for getting back to me with word about the art tour so I could air it today. And in both the first and the second hour today, my heartfelt thanks to all of you out there for tuning in, and now also to all of the 47 poets who took part in this year's festival for their wonderful readings that I've aired over the course of the past two or three months, actually. And the same thanks again to all the crowds who came out to support the poets and poetry itself. And again, of course, to all of you out there for having tuned into the show today. You are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. Please don't forget that every week, both hours of this show are uploaded to my personal blog space for it at Finding a Voice on cfrcfm.wordpress.com. We'll remain there for 3 years. I load them up when I get home, after I get home from this show. I'm hoping to, I usually do it about 7 o'clock. I'm hoping to do the same thing again this evening before I head out to, and I'm going to plug it one more time, in the final event of the day today. There's still a whole day tomorrow and tomorrow evening and Sunday, but I'm talking about the Kingston Writers Fest. That event starts at 7:30, and I think I can get this show uploaded before I head out there. So that's my plan. Again, check out the Kingston Writers Fest. I practically live there every year. I used to book that would be my vacation when I worked full time. I would book that week off and just spend it at the Kingston Writers Fest. So it's important and it's great and it's great for this city. So anyway, if you can check it out, www.kingstonwritersfest.ca. I hope you enjoyed the show today. I hope to catch you here next week. Do stay tuned at the top of the hour for 2 hours of East Coast music in a program called Saltwater Music that's hosted by Rob Carnell. I do have a few, three recorded messages here to take us there. And just a quick plug again, I did it in the first hour. If you're in Kingston and you want to check out the open mic, The Elm's the place to be next Tuesday night, first Tuesday night of the month. Check it out. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. Atlantic and 7:30 Newfoundland.
Have you been dumped? Left all alone? Just want to find your soulmate? Look no further, because your new best friend is waiting for you at the Kingston Humane Society. The Kingston Humane Society is a nonprofit animal organization founded in 1884 that is supported solely by the community, receiving no government funding to assist in their mission of caring for injured, abused, and homeless animals, with the goal of creating families and homes for the animals. They are the only open shelter in the region, accepting every animal brought to them with compassion, respect, and humane assistance. If you want to donate to help these animals find their best friends, or if you're interested in finding the new love of your life, please visit KingstonHumaneSociety.ca. Everyone just needs a little love.
Kingston. This is your Indie Wake-Up Call.
Playing anything new and everything indie. Garage rock, hip-hop, folk, punk, and electropop. New, Canadian, and even local. Indie Wake-Up handles your morning.